It's a reconvening of the meeting. Sorry, I always
recording in progress.
My iPad. I will change again during the course of the proceeding. Without any further delay, are you ready, SADPMR?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Should we go on, Chair?
The floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Community Chair, members, Acting DG, and colleagues. Can I request that as I'm speaking, we be allowed the sharing rights be given to the CEO, Cecil Khoza, because he's the one who's going to do the presentation. Could please the sharing rights be given to Cecil Khoza to put up his presentation while I'm still talking. Chair, on a lighter note, as we went for lunch, I was expecting that we'll see some Uber Eats compliments from you, Chairperson. But unfortunately, there was nothing arriving. So some of us, so we can't call this a graveyard shift because we had nothing. So it's an ordinary shift like in the morning. Chair, in my highlight, I just want to go quickly through three points. The first point is the issue how we developed the processes that we followed in development of our annual performance plan. We fortunately, the regulators got well-defined clients who are also very well organized. So we started the process by having several workshops with our clients in order for us to get their views, in order for us to have a need analysis from them to understand what is it that they expect from us, but not deviating from our legislative requirements. We shared our views with them. And then thereafter, we had a strategic session between the board and management, which came at the end of it. Then we had our plans. We decided to have these consultative processes. You'll see as I go on towards the end why we are trying this consultative process. And in the meantime, after the workshop and having the APP and throughout the course of the year, we've decided that we'll have customer satisfaction surveys where our clients, if they come to our offices, will fill in a customer satisfaction form in order for us to monitor the progress within the organization as to whether we are finding each other with our clients. The second issue I wanted to raise is the issue of efficiencies in the regulator. Members are all aware that our core business as the SADPMR, it's the licensing regime. And we're trying to move our staff and utilize our staff better to service this core business. Our aim is to do better than the legislated turnaround time in giving our licenses. At the same time, we're trying to develop a few SMMEs within the industry we serve. We do this in partnership. We don't have any funding for it, so we do it in partnership with our clients or our stakeholders, and we continuously monitor it. What you find in most cases with SMMEs, you find that everybody gets happy to develop new entries into the industry, but never monitor them going forward. So you find that they survive for 2-3 years and they die off. So we want to monitor it continuously and continue encouraging our partners to help those SMMEs. This is the only way that we see that will help us having more new entrants into sustainable entrance, new entrances into our business. The last issue I just want to go through, Chair, is the High Court judgment on the 2018 Mining Charter. I think it's called Mining Charter 3, where the judgment invalidated the Section 4 of the Charter. If members could recall, Section 4 of the Charter was on applicability of mining charter to licenses granted under the Precious Metal Act and the Diamond Act. Fortunately, we decided not to throw our hands on the air when we got the judgment. Instead, we decided that although there's no legislation that is forcing this to continue, but we decided to continue monitoring it. And these workshops that we hold with the industry, we're hopeful that they'll foster a better relationship between us and the industry. And as a result, we will continuously just nudge them, you know, and just remind them that, you know, if you do that and that in the transformation of the industry, it could help the industry, could also help you as our clients. So Hence, that's why we are trying by all means to continue to have a good relationship with our clients. I'll leave it there, Chair, because the CEO will go further in details on some of the issues that I've just raised. CEO Cecil, can you go on then? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, Acting DG, Chairpersons of Boards, and fellow colleagues, I would like to greet you on this beautiful Friday afternoon. The chairperson made a good introduction regarding our mandate, which we emphasize that our role is simple. In simple terms, our role is to issue licenses, enforce legislation, and facilitate trading of diamonds and precious metals in the Republic of South Africa. And obviously, that is done in conjunction with the other applicable legislation. We have to consider all the legislation that is listed in that slide. Now, what we have done in the PEC was to provide you with a diagrammatic representation of our mandate for both the diamonds value chain as well as one for precious metals. That's just to give you an orientation of what the industry value chain looks like and where we fit into that value chain. And we'll go straight into the main focus of our presentation today by reflecting at what we have achieved over the past 5 years. We have managed to issue 2,581 licenses, permits, and certificates. And on an annual basis, we record approximately about 2,300 valid and active licenses or permits or certificates. And these are representative of all the provinces of the Republic of South Africa. And our performance has been consistently taking an upward trend until COVID-19 came about and prompted National Treasury to advise entities to revise or adjust their targets. And we'll recall that we accordingly had to reset some of our targets to align with the realities of the time. Hence, if you look on the slide, you'll see that there's a lesser number in the MTEF period of the licenses that we are looking forward to be issuing compared to what we had done in the previous cycle. And I can also mention that during that very same period, we managed to clinch a clean audit in the 2019-2020 financial year. In terms of the vision, our strategic plan is mainly focused on transformation, beneficiation, enforcement, and skills development, which is part of what the chairperson highlighted about enterprises. And I can mention that when the board was appointed, they introduced specific new targets and objectives. So going forward on this presentation, I'll take you through selected focal areas in the APP where the board has made significant changes to the previous strategic objectives and targets. That slide just shows the programs that we have that they have not changed: regulatory compliance, diamond trade, corporate services, legal, security, risk, and governance, as well as internal audit and finance. On our core business objectives and targets, we are increasing our effort with other law enforcement agencies to cap illicit trading in minerals. We have increased the number of disruptive inspections to be conducted with SAPS. These are actually unannounced inspections, where if we pick up anomalies in the registers or there's suspicious activities that are reported or picked up by inspectors, then we'll make arrangements to go and do an unannounced or disruptive inspection, and where necessary, arrests are made. There's always been a challenge with regards to issuing of licenses within the stipulated 60 days. Chairperson mentioned the issue of efficiencies, and that's where it comes in. We have put in new operational measures to improve in that regard, and we have already seen positive results, especially with beneficiation licenses. Also, an organizational design process has been undertaken within the regulator with a view to ensuring optimal utilization of resources to boost capacity, especially in the core business divisions. Regulatory compliance was given priority, and those divisions falling under that branch have been restructured to reflect a multi-skilled team of inspectors supported by specialists in the disciplines of diamonds, precious metals, beneficiation, transformation, and enforcement. The project is being implemented, and we envisage to complete the critical work by June 2022. Part of that program or the action plan is to monitor the implementation thereof and evaluation, and aim to finish that by November 2022. We have not been deterred by the setting aside of certain clauses of the charter, which the chairperson alluded to. That actually, that judgment actually affected the largest part of our transformation agenda or objectives as set out in the charter that was set aside. It is, of course, a huge setback, but we continue to work closely with industry, and industry has reacted positively because of our constant engagement with them. We have now included the Enterprise Development Program, under which a number of projects have been initiated. Just to give context to that, we have one project that benefited 18 SMMEs, and we have started with a new intake now with another 15. There's another new project that will have another 15 beneficiaries. But some of our projects, the majority of them have on average 5 SMMEs benefiting from this project. We are starting with new projects in the first year and building up to our cumulative target of 27 over the MTEF. In these projects, what we try to achieve is through a mentorship or incubation process, take our candidates through certain milestones up to a point where they graduate. And it should be mentioned that this enterprise program is over and above the existing skills development training under Diamond Trade, which is offered internally to new entrants in the area of diamond valuation. We have been reporting on that particular one previously. There's also a new focus with regards to access to the Diamond Exchange and Export Center, by ensuring that those historically disadvantaged persons who couldn't access the DEC or the industry, those holding beneficiation licenses are encouraged and invited to visit our trade platform. As far as corporate services and other support services are concerned, We are continually responding to the threat of synthetic diamonds by providing relevant detecting equipment. Actually, we are procuring detection equipment, and we have introduced APP targets regarding the detection and verification of undisclosed lab-grown diamonds. On corporate services, we are ensuring organizational development by implementing a substantial number of change management interventions. We plan 2 for the current year, and we'll have 6 over the MTEF. Skip on those ones that you are quite familiar with. We have increased our stakeholder engagement efforts, as the chairperson has alluded to, and a number of workshops have already been held with industry, both the private, sorry, the precious metal sector, as well as the diamond sector, just to articulate our vision, as well as to understand the industry challenges. We have planned to conduct 20 of similar engagements, amongst others, for the year, and to have a cumulative of 60 over the period. We are also mindful of the potential implications of the fourth industrial revolution, as we are developing online application systems. We will also have online submission of registers or our statistical reports, and we are building up on online bidding systems for the trade platform. We now have a new output on sound corporate governance. The board is prioritizing and is constantly monitoring the implementation of the management action plans to address internal and external audit findings, as we presented earlier to the PPC. We have also added targets relating to internal audit, which was not there before. The whole idea is to obtain clean audits going forward. On ensuring an effective, efficient, and development-oriented regulator, we will implement a revenue strategy or financial sustainability strategy. This is to ensure that we cushion the entity from unpredictable market forces, especially given the current geopolitical dynamics. The number of instances of non-compliance to PFMA, and that means a regular, wasteful, and fruitless expenditure have been targeted at zero. And we deliberately set these targets high because we believe that this will keep us on our toes. We are also upgrading our ERP by identifying and implementing finance application modules to move away from time-consuming manual systems and to reduce the frequency of human-induced errors. With regards to our budget, we have complied with National Treasury guidelines. As far as our financial situation is concerned, we have stabilized and are on a healthy path. You will recall that we came previously to lament about our situation, which was not looking good at that time. We have now stabilized, but it will be premature to declare that we are out of the woods as yet, because our markets are unpredictable. So one cannot put a long-term projection as to how these will behave. Therefore, we have had to be prudent in terms of how we approach our expenditure and projections. Our total revenue of 114,549 million and total expenditure of 114,351 are increasing correspondingly through the MTF with a reasonably marginal project surpluses. The projections show a sustained significant increase in internal revenue as compared to a marginal increase in grant allocation, with expenditure being contained and kept as low as possible. You will note that we receive our grant from government, which is just over 50% of our budget. And most of the money, the balance is collected internally through services. With regards to challenges, we have realized that the challenges faced by the regulator have not gone away. We will continue to engage the department to facilitate engagements with relevant stakeholders such as the National Treasury and SARS to address issues around VAT exemption VAT administration and export levies due to complaints that have always been received from industry because of delays in terms of paying out VAT over long periods of time. We believe that with this strategy, we are setting ourselves on a good path to building a world-class regulator. With that, Chairperson, I would like to thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes our presentation as SATPMR. Thanks.
Okay. Sangenzela lolu msebenzi omama uGalede. SDT.
Good afternoon, Chair. We can request the link from SATMA. Oh, thanks very much. Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Mandla Mguni, the CEO of the State Diamond Trader. Thanks very much, Chairperson, for allowing us to make this presentation. And good afternoon to Honorable PPC members, and all protocol is observed. Chair, we are just starting to link the document, but in our midst, Chairperson, we do have the Chairperson of the board, Umel Ledingwane, and the executives, which is our CFO, who's going to make a presentation at the later stage. And the operations manager and our newly appointed company secretary, who's the one that is making a link for us, Chairperson. It seems as if there's a challenge with that. Apparently, it seems as if the host doesn't allow for us to share, Chairperson.
Please indicate who is the committee, the company secretary.
Is Mr. Sihle Mhlangu. He's the one who's trying to connect. Apparently, the host doesn't want to accept the link.
So he has co-hosting rights now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure now you can see the link. Can I have just a confirmation that we can see the link, Chair?
Proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We'll start, Chairperson, with slide number 4, basically, which gives just a brief background about the State Diamond Trader, which was established in 2027 in terms of section 14 of the Diamond Act of 1986, Chairperson. Basically, we are about ensuring that at least we support and facilitate the growth of local diamond beneficiation. That's basically what we are, Chairperson. In terms of the PMFMA, we are a section 3B as a business entity, Chairperson. We will now move, Chairperson, to slide number 6, which basically deals with our mandate, Chairperson. We basically indicate ourselves as a business entity with some social character, or we have that commercial sustainability, because we need to be commercially sustainable as the State Diamond Trader in ensuring, but at the same time, ensuring that there's also that developmental nature we have, because that's basically our mandate, because we are focusing on beneficiation. 5 activities that we normally do in terms of our mandate, because, Chair, we normally buy and sell rough diamonds from the producers. We do that through a market prices that we normally do. Out of that chairperson, we do a equitable access to beneficiation in terms of the rough diamonds that we have. We also chairperson are responsible to ensuring that all those diamonds are cut and polished in South Africa, which basically we are focusing on HDSA. We also addressing also the distortion that was created with the previous situation in South Africa. All that chairperson we do in terms of legislation, because we are expected to purchase at least 10% of runoff mines. So basically that's what we are doing, chairperson, as the state diamond trader. We will move chairperson to slide number 8. Basically chairperson, this is a slide that deals with our operations as a state diamond trader. We do have our core functions, which one is more about purchasing, where we do go and view the rough diamonds from the producers. From there, we do a sorting and evaluation of the diamonds that we get through the production. Then from there, we sell the diamonds to all the relevant clients that we have, and we also have the clients' relations. Basically, this is our core function as the state diamond trader, because we are trading on diamonds. Then we also have our support services, which basically is our HR, ICT, finance, our governance and legal, and as well as security. Those are supportive services that we have as the state diamond trader. We can now move to the next slide, which is slide number 10. Basically, chairperson, when we're preparing the corporate plan or the APP that we are presenting, chairperson, we did two analyses that we conducted, chairperson, in terms of the business. The one was the pastel, chairperson, where we were just viewing the entity, also the environment in which we are operating. Therefore, in terms of the pastel, we look at the political situation that we're operating in, the economic part, the social part, the technology, environment, legal, and ethical that we are presenting or promoting the entity. The last section, what we also did, chairperson, we also did another tool of analysis, which is the SWOT analysis, where we looked at our strength as the state diamond trader, which are looking at the internal part of the state diamond trader, and also look at the weaknesses which are within the state diamond trader. We at the same time look outside in terms of the SWOT analysis, checking the threats that are there in the environment and the opportunities that we can look at them and going forward. Because everything that we are going to do, chairperson, was also based on both the pastel and together the SWOT analysis. Chairperson, therefore, chairperson, we now moving to slide number 13. The slide number 13, chairperson, is more about the alignment, because as a state diamond trader, we have to look whether are we aligning to the government. We looked at the NDP outcomes, which are applicable to the state diamond trader. We look at outcome number 4, which deals with decent employment. We also look at outcome number 5, which deals with skills and capable workforce, and outcome number 12, which deals with effective and efficient of the developmental orientation of public services. Those are the outcomes that we looked in terms of the NDP. We further, chairperson, align ourselves to the government priorities, priority number 1, and priority number 2, and also priority number 7, chairperson, which we are aligned to ourselves. We further, chairperson, align to the MRE priorities, which deals with transforming mineral resources and increased investment of mineral resources. Thereafter, chairperson, we created our own outcomes and also our outcome indicators, chairperson, which deal with about transformation, a capable workforce, a knowledge base, an innovative organization. We've improved corporate performance and also the financial sustainability, which are 5 outcomes that we have as the state diamond trader, chairperson. Then when we move to slide number 15, we are dealing basically with the summary of the APP for 2022-2023. The first one, Chairperson, we are focusing on the core business of the entity, looking at transformation, where we look at the outcome indicators, which is more about ensuring that we are creating Black participation and ownership in terms of the diamonds. There are activities or targets that we have set out ourselves, Chairperson, that we want to increase the purchase of rough diamonds to 4.5. That we also looked into what was happening in terms of the baseline of the 2019-2020, which was 2%. So we have increased by 4.5%, Chairperson. We have also increased in terms of the HDS, what is it that we want to promote or want to sell up to HDSA. We are increasing from 65 million to 67 million based on the previous baseline. We are also going to increase the supply of carats in terms of the carats that we normally observe, evaluate, Chairperson. Then we are also targeting the enterprise development program, which is focusing on young Black people so that at least they can get an opportunity to be part in the diamond industry. The next one, Chairperson, was about training and development, where we, in terms of our outcome indicators, at least we want to increase the skills of the workforce and also ensuring that we work in a safe working environment, Chairperson. Those are issues that we do. We will continue, Chairperson, submission of our workplace skills plan and implement it accordingly, ensuring that the bursaries that we have started, Chairperson, we increase, because at least now we have two graduates that are also coming from the bursaries that we have. We'll also ensure that at least we improve our employee wellness program. The next aspect, Chairperson, or outcome, deals with our innovation, where we are collaborating with some entities to ensure that at least there's innovation and creativity in the state diamond trader. We are having some collaboration with Mintech and CSIR, ensuring that at least we promote the issue of innovation in the state diamond trader. That will also assist the entity. The next outcome and outcome indicator, Chairperson, deals with about the compliance for the state diamond trader, ensuring that at least we comply with all the regulations, all the targets that we have set. We are, as a state diamond trader, ensuring that at least we have a target that deals with the corporate governance, that we strengthen it, and ensuring that all the functions that we do, we align to legislation. We will ensure that, Chairperson, we improve the fraud and prevention that doesn't take place within the state diamond trader. We have measures in place that we have put. We do have that policy, Chairperson. We review that on a regular basis, Chairperson. We will ensure that we comply to Public Finance Management Act, because of the checklist that we have, the corporate plan, the budget, quarterly report, and annual report, and risk register. We will ensure that we deal with those. Those are part of the functions that we'll be dealing with, and also will improve the stakeholder management. The last outcome, Chairperson, outcome indicator, is about financial viability of the state diamond trader. You remember, Chairperson, the last 2-3 years, we had some financial challenges because of the COVID. But Chairperson, we can now respond that, but the finance CFO will deal with that. But we can indicate, Chairperson, that our finance are stable currently. And we can also indicate that we are an entity that is currently financially solvent with the current situation that we find ourselves. The CFO will deal with that at the later stage, Chairperson. However, in terms of our finances, Chairperson, we must indicate that at least our bank balance is good and we can meet our financial obligation and all the APP targets that we have set, Chairperson, we can deal with that. So we also have some targets that we have improved, that we ensure that we still maintain our financial stability. We will ensure that we improve in terms of the audit findings. We have put some measures in place to ensure that all the issues that were raised by the AG, we are dealing with them to improve that. Also our ICT, Chairperson, that we need to improve them. And next slide, Chairperson, slide 20 deals with the challenges that we are facing. We still have a challenge in terms of the funding for the state diamond trader because we are a Section 3B, but we did also have our review our business plan, ensuring that at least we improve in terms of the entity. The rough diamonds that we currently produce in South Africa, only 50% are basically the ones that are economically viable or economically could be used by the clients that we have. It's something that we also need to look into. Our clients, Chairperson, most of them, because the HDSA clients, they don't have also funding, they don't also have training, hence we also in ensuring that we also so do that. We other issue that we dealt with is legislation, Chairperson. We can, Chairperson, confirm that the work has already started with the DMRE. We are part of the committee that the DMRE has started in terms of ensuring that we relook into the legislation. There is still a decline in production, Chairperson. We hope that with DPS at the Vanessa mine, we might be able to get more diamonds even for our clients, Chairperson, but we are understanding that deadlines, the diamonds are declining. However, we are still looking at other alternatives, which we have submitted in our business plan, looking at getting even as other suitable diamonds from outside the country. The issue of the price is still a challenge because we still depend on what the producers are putting on the table, and then we have to negotiate that. And that does have a influence on the margins that we make as a state diamond trader. At the end of the day, it does also affect even our clients. The next thing, Chairperson, that we also looked when we go to slide number 23 is about the risk, because out of the corporate plan, everything that we have put in place, we're looking at some risk, Chairperson. We had about 11 risks, but critical, Chairperson, is about the amendment of legislation, the illegal miners, because they do affect the level or the production that we received. The business continuity, Chairperson, we don't want to see ourselves like it happened in 2 years' time in terms of the lockdown, something that we have also looked into and we've came with some risk mitigation on that. The current geographical, geopolitical instability, especially in terms of Russia and Ukraine, will have also have some impact because some of the diamonds are coming from Russia. However, Chairperson, we are depending here on the government. We will not act as a state diamond trader. We will depend on what the government tells what we need to do. We also, other issue that we have also looked into, the issue of compliance in terms of supply chain management, so that we avoid irregular expenditure, wasteful, and all these other issues, Chairperson. We are looking into that. So we have also mitigation factors in terms of the Chairperson. The last issue, Chairperson, from my side is about the market trends. We also look at the market trends, looking at the GDP. We're also looking at the customer demands that is there, the supply of rough diamonds. We know that this financial year, it has been a good year for the state diamond trader and the industry at large. So those are the issues that we look, because those are the ones that are assisting us paving the way going forward as we are planning, Chairperson. We are looking at manufacturing capacity, rough and diamond pricing that we normally do. Basically, Chairperson, this is a summary that we can give in terms of the APP going forward. I'm going to request our CFO to take us through the budget, Chairperson, also the budget assumptions that we have going forward. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Are all protocol observed? Just to highlight, as the CEO has alluded, that the current financial period, it was the good financial period for us, as we've made a revenue of over $1 billion and we've made a profit of $2 million, which make that to have some improvement on our cash balance to over $100 million. We took the conservative approach on our revenue when we were making the budget. Just to highlight that our revenue only consists of our rough diamonds, and we plan to have revenue of 826 in 2022-23, and to have some slightly increase for the next 5 years. With regards to the gross profit, we budgeted the 4% on our gross margin for the entire period of the budget. And for the operating cost, we have just allocated the 5%, which is going to be consistent throughout the five-year period of the budget. And for the finance income, we expecting to get some interest from the bank, as we still have some cash available, which it will be about 2.5 million to 2.9 million. The finance expense, it relates to the interest. Should we get any credit facility? So we did take that into account, which will amount to 867,000 in 2023, up to over $1 million in 2026-27. We expecting to make some profit based on the demand for the rough diamonds in 2022-23 of 4.3 million. If we can move to slide 27. As I have alluded that we are planning to make the profit over the next 5 years. And this is dependent, Chair, on the demand for the rough diamonds. I would like to stop here. Thank you, CEO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's our presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. These are our presentations, Chairperson. I will then hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kamete. Well done, good people. Next time I must start with you so that you can set the pace. Let me check then, honorable members. Are there any questions? I see the head of Honorable Lorima. Is there any other hand? In the absence of another hand, I can see it's a Friday. It's by fatigue. Honorable Lorima?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. First of all, with the regulator, there was really just one area that I wanted to talk about, and that was right at the end of the presentation, slide 27, the issue of VAT exemption on imports. As I understand it, that's something that the industry would like, because the position at the moment is that they have to pay out VAT and then wait a long time to get the VAT returned, and it affects cash flow. Am I correct in that? And then can you just tell us, you say the support required is engagement with SARS. I know this has been a problem for a long time. What's actually happening there? I mean, what's the progress in your engagement with SARS? Who's engaging with SARS on your behalf? Are you engaging with them directly? Can you just fill us in on what is going on there? My other questions are for the State Diamond Trader. State Diamond Trader. Going on to... I think it's slide 10. I'm not sure of the numbering. The numbers at the bottom of the pages. Your external situational analysis. You say environmental. Carbon emissions for transportation of diamonds. Just explain that. I thought you could put diamonds in your pocket, but maybe I'm wrong and I'm missing something. So explain that to me. The following slide, your SWOT analysis. There is the sustainability. You talk about the sustainability of the current business model. Just very briefly, explain to us what's wrong with the current business model and what needs to be done. I mean, very briefly. Slide 17, you say that clients do not receive suitable rough diamonds as a result of the run-of-mine provisions. Now, why is that? And I suppose in that answer, could you also tell us what percentage of run-of-mine diamonds are you actually buying? That would be interesting. Slide 18, you say that fair market value is not supportive of the transformation agenda. Now, does that mean if you paid fair market value, then your clients would not be able to afford your diamonds? Slide 23. Just explain, look, I know these things are very difficult in a market like the diamond market to project, but why are you projecting a profit decrease over the medium term, over 4 or 5 years? Then to some particulars, how many local beneficiators are you selling diamonds to at the moment? Then of the top three domestic clients, about what percentage of your sales goes to each of those top three clients? And then finally, do you have any idea what percentage of the rough diamonds that you sell are being exported without being beneficiated? That's it, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Barima. Now, just very quickly, I will appreciate on the issues that have been and engage my addition on you as a DPMR. In fact, I think both of my questions will be with you. Just to expand on that issue, I heard you talked about legislation, and I saw what you are proposing on legislation on the other side, the amendments that must be made on the legislation. In addition to the issue of the engagement with SARS, to what extent, if there is no progress there, do you think that there has, or do you think that in the absence of progress, will there be a need to have an expedited process of a legislative amendment? I think that's to me the issue. I know the VAT issue is not necessarily a legislative framework, but at some point, there might be a need when looking at it to have a demand for that. The last question for me, I'm just interested, it's nice, maybe if we want us to pack it today, it sounded very nice, the issue with regards to the improvement in licensing. You said you had a system, but now with the new system that you have, part of the problem that one has had for so many years, and you said there have been, let me say, backlog, or we have been behind at some point on these things of less, but now there is a huge improvement. What is it? What method? Maybe we can borrow from you, or should we pack that for another day to just come and unpack to us how you have improved the area with regards to licensing? If it's a cumbersome thing, maybe you can suggest, no, let's put that aside, Chair. There are other options that we can consider, either sending it in writing or coming to present to the committee, both the challenges we had with licensing and with what now we are actually doing, which has made an improvement. I think that's the last issue. I don't want to go, maybe let me ask, Has there been clarity now on the issue of the rental or whatever at your new site at OR Tambo? Maybe that those to me will be the areas of interest. Can I give it to you through you, Mamu Kamed?
Yes, Chairperson. Can you repeat that, Chairperson? I just got a bit.
No, I'm just saying I'm giving it to you to go for SADPMR and STD to respond.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, SDNPR, can you respond, please?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to respond, but Chair, can you assist me with the last question about rental at OR Tambo?
No, I might be wrong. My understanding is that there was an issue where there was no clarity. Is it you or is it on the movement to the new premises?
Okay, I think we might have reported that we have moved to OR Tambo. However, we're still finalizing the issues of the lease agreement with the landlord.
Yes, that's a challenging question. That's the question.
Yes.
If you say it's still a work in progress, that's fine.
Yes, it's work in progress, not been finalized.
Okay.
Okay, so Chair, on the issue of engagement with SARS that was raised by Honorable Lorima, we've had meetings with SARS where we have raised these issues. And I've reported before that we have had a submission written to SARS and there was no positive response in that regard. But then we followed up with invitations to SARS to address these issues. They've also been attending our workshops. One challenge is that SARS is a huge entity with a maze of sections and different units with different unique mandates. But we have managed to work through their stakeholder office just to ensure that we get to a relevant management structure. Then we managed to get them on board and pitch our problem. Maybe the challenge is that at this stage, the issues that we raised with them have not been pitched at the correct level on their side. They are working on it. We are hoping that when they give us feedback, this time it will be positive. Because the main challenge that we are having is mainly an administrative matter than a legislative matter. The legislative aspect thereof is handled under the Export Diamond Export Levy Admin Act and the Diamond Export Levy Act. That is another issue that needs a serious consideration by all the parties involved. And the decision lies, of course, with the National Treasury and SARS to decide how they deal with it. But on the administrative aspect, I think if we continue to communicate this matter with them and work through the relevant channels, maybe through the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, we can arrive at a solution on the administrative side of it. With regards to how we manage to deal with backlog, of course, there's been a huge improvement. We have looked at our standard operating procedures and mainly identified that one of the challenges was on the initial stages of the application. So when applications were lodged, there will be information that is lacking or incomplete. So we sat down and said, help desk, how can we best deal with this at help desk stage? So we set up at the help desk and improved services at that point. So when an application comes in, it will be screened through before it's accepted to avoid that at the end of the day, it will be refused or rejected. Then we also looked at shortening our timeframes within the interaction between different divisions in the regulator. One of the things that I mentioned earlier was the collapsing of silos through the optimal utilization of resources. So you would have two units with the same mandate taking long to work together to produce reports. But now that has been collapsed into one unit, so it's going to facilitate the process as well. So in short, Chairperson, that's how we got to deal with the backlog. Actually, in quarter four, we didn't have any challenge in terms of backlog. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the State Diamond Trader, I will attempt to answer certain questions and request our operations manager also to assist Chairperson if you agree to that. However, Chairperson, the first question that was asked by Honorable Lorema is basically about the environment. Because if you look at the PESTEL, one of the issues that we looked at was how do we, as the State Diamond Trader, contributing to the environment? But because we are not a mining, we are more based in the office. So we have to look at the contribution that is there. So the transportation of the diamonds from the producers and also by the companies that we are using. So they do have an impact on the emission that they produce. So basically, because we don't have the electronic way of purchasing, we do go to the market and it's being transported. So they do at the element produce some emission for on the environment. The other issues that are being questioned are basically around the business model of the State Diamond Trader. When you look at the percentage of rough diamonds that we sell or we buy, the market value that is there, the run-off mines, all of those are within the model that we have as a State Diamond Trader. Because in terms of the legislation, we, as I earlier indicated, that we are a 3B, which we are a commercial entity. But at the same time, we have also have that element or a character of being a social or a developmental entity where we are focusing on beneficiation. So basically, we are being looked at as a commercial, but at the same time as a social entity. So we have to balance the two. At the end of the day, Chairperson, you must understand that this, as the State Diamond Trader, as a developmental, we don't receive any funding from the state. Hence, we are looking at that when we say the model doesn't assist us, because whatever we buy, we buy at the market price. What is it that the market wants to give to us? It's the negotiations that we have with the producers. And it depends on the supply and demand that is available at that time. Therefore, all what we are buying, we are transferring again to our clients. Then with our clients, we still need again to negotiate with the clients that we are producing. At the end of the day, it's that's a question of give and take situation that we have as the State Diamond Trader. So the issue of the runoff mine is also a challenge for the State Diamond Trader, because we don't choose the gem, we choose what we are given by the producers. The Honorable also asked the question about the number of clients that we have. Currently, we have about 85 clients that we are having as a State Diamond Trader. And because of the limited, we're currently buying 4.5 out of the 10% rough, that is it. Why do we do that? It's because of the commercial price of the or the suitability of the price or economic viability of the diamonds that we are producing, because we sell what the clients want. And currently, the clients only require about 15% of the diamonds that are being produced in South Africa. And therefore, we cannot be in a position at the same time to serve all the 85 clients that we have because of the limited diamonds that are being produced or what is wanted by the clients in South Africa. So basically, that's a challenge that we basically have. And there was also a question about the top three clients. Basically, about 66% of 66 to 70 sometimes of sales that we do is for basically to our top three clients. The other question about export, I'm sure the regulator can be the ones that can deal with, because they are the ones that are taking all the diamonds are being dealt with the regulator. The other question, Chair, that was asked by Honorable Relima is, let me check. I think I've covered, unless maybe the operations manager wants to add on one or two things that we've just covered.
Thank you, Chair. I think just in relation to suitability, a good example would be like if you got 1,000 carats, about 50% of that, which is 150 carats, is what clients deem suitable. And when we say suitable, we mean it is more gem quality goods, nicer quality goods, and then sizes will range from 1 carat and up. That is preferred. So you know, not suitable is about 85%, so that's quite a lot of caratage. I think in relation towards that fair market price, currently majority of the goods that are being produced by producers are being sold through the tender or the auction price. So here the guys have come competing for these goods, and whoever is more hungry for the goods will actually put a price on those goods. Now the reality is that sometimes those that won the parcel and those that lie second, third, and fourth, there could be a difference of anything between 20 to 30% difference on those prices. And that becomes a challenge because, you know, how do you define then what is fair market value? Is it the highest price that somebody is prepared to pay for it? Or do you take second, third, and fourth and average that out and say that's where the market is? I think I'll stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether we have covered all the questions that have been asked, but we think we did, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we have responded to all our questions. We'll hand over to you. Thank you.
thank you very much, SATPMR and State Diamond Trader with your presentations. Thank you to the department. Is there any point you want to make, Mom Kamet? Mom Kamet.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, sorry. I'm getting all calls. Sorry, Chairperson, from the office.
I'm just saying any of your last words.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, Chairperson. Thank you for all what we've done so far in terms of our presentations. Yes, indeed, they were long, but at least we were able to respond as well as we are supposed to have done so. And thank you so much. And we will then continue with, I think, not this coming week, Chairperson, because most of us will be on the mine or in the mining Daba. And that's the request that we've made to say that we might not even be able then to respond to the request for the study group tomorrow, I mean next week. So we are requesting that maybe we could be excused for this coming week. And then maybe then we'll then attend to all the matters in the following week. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you, honorable members, for your patience and the work that we have to do. Most definitely, we will not be needing you next week. We are working on the program with regards to the adoption of the reports that we would have compiled, and then we will make announcements with regards to the date of the, if I'm not mistaken, is the 19th, I think, the date of the budget vote in terms of the mini plenaries. So for your time, honorable members, you are well appreciated. Thanks to the department. No, Mr. Kosa, I was just saying to you and Mr. Ngomezulu that we would have wanted to borrow your efficiency in licensing and give it to, starting with your principal, which is the department, so that we can quickly unlock all challenges or issues that relates to, yes, that relates to licensing. So that was my interest to say, hey, we can say in this case is a unique case. But on that note, thank you very much. We will, if there's any clarity that is needed, we will submit it in writing. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.